A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam, and a great Mental Health Monday right ahead of us. How are you doing, Sam?
Hey, doing great, John. It has been a jam-packed week with everybody. I think now is like coming off and doing the last activities of the fall because the start of school is right around the corner. And of course, there's never a break for our first responders. And, you know, all during the summer, we've got to participate in a lot of grassroots programs. And you just got to participate in one that really, really cool. They're all fantastic. This one is unique, though. Tell us about the Ride for Suicide that just happened this past Saturday.
This was my first time that I really participated in it. Tazara Moore lost her husband 9 years ago. He was a civilian, but battled. Everybody, you know, we all have our battles. He wasn't a first responder, wasn't a veteran, but he fought demons that nobody really knew about because he hit him with a beautiful smile, you know? And I got to speak to Tazara at length. And, you know, one day he was smiling and happy, and the next day, just like that, he was gone. And she put this organization together called Hear My Cry Foundation. And she's been building up and trying to spread awareness and helping those survivors of suicide. And she put this bike run together, this Ride for Suicide. And we met down at Ben Gill Park in Terrell. And it was about 200 bikes. It was probably one of the biggest events she's had so far in the last 8 years.
Now, we're not talking bicycles.
No, we're talking motorcycles. Yeah, motorcycles. It was a fully escorted run. It was a beautiful run. We had a beautiful weather. Clubs from all over, independent riders from all over Texas showed up to show their support. And it was really interesting. I got to speak to so many people, and everybody had the same thing. You know, I battle. I have my moments, you know, and I wish I could sit down with all of them and go, well, what are you doing about it? Like, what are your processes to getting through those tough times? And the people that I did talk to, real sketchy, I don't want to use the word sketchy, but very, they just didn't know what they were doing. They were like, well, you know, I'll go fishing every once in a while, or I'll do this. They don't set themselves up into a good routine, a daily routine, like yourself, a daily routine, because life does get in the way. But you have to really make that effort to take that daily routine and put it into your daily lifestyle, just like you're getting up and going to work or making a cup of coffee. You have to turn around and say, I got to meditate for 30 minutes, or I got to do some exercises for 15 minutes, or I got to do something to really get myself mentally healthy. And I think that was a big thing that I got out of the whole ride this weekend, was we have to start teaching people to put their mental health processes into their daily routines, and they will start to feel a little bit better, and they will start moving forward.
Yeah, like you and I always talk about, it's your chocolate chip cookie recipe, and it's only yours, because it's right. Because mental health is not cookie cutter fixes. And I think the key thing is, well, first of all, you were there and you were able to share some of your wisdom and with all the stuff that we do. But above and beyond that, to understand that, hey, this mental health, we're in a crisis, okay? Since the things went, I don't want to say the word because, you know, YouTube does its thing. since this world tilted some different way on its axis, the access to mental health has become through a screen. Okay, just like this, called telehealth, which in the beginning, it seemed like a great concept because you could still reach people. You could still talk to your patient base, your client base. They didn't get lost, right? Because we couldn't be in person. But now, since we're like, we're done with that, a lot of the places are still clinging to that. And I got to tell you, it drives me up a wall, just, you know, personally, because of the things, you know, that personally my family's going through. But beyond that, talking to our partners like NAMI and other organizations and other practitioners, like, I can't do this through a screen anymore. I need to have my clients, my patients in front of me so that I can absolutely just assess a true picture. Because here up is not a true picture.
Right. I could be having a twitch right now on my leg and you would never know that I'm anxiety ridden because I'm hidden by a camera. Mental health is personal. Like you're just saying, mental health is personal, not through telecommunication. Because this does not make me want to open up to you and start telling you my problems.
Right,
you
know, right.
This is a business meeting that we should be talking graphics and dividends and everything else, you know?
Yeah. right.
You know, that's what it's about.
Yeah. And so what we need to, you know, what we need to do, if you're watching and you are a practitioner, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're an organization that offers assistance, think about really how you're doing it now, because it's such, like John said, if he's there, he's bouncing his leg. We right now on this podcast watching, we would not know that. And that's an important thing for somebody to see. And, you know, speaking of organizations, it's, I just feel like you got Carry the Load, our banner. We're partners. We've been partners for a long time. It's the grassroots efforts that keep coming forward to fill the void where things are falling off in the mental health space, particularly for our first responders and our veteran community. And tonight we have an amazing woman on from an organization called Foundation 1023. We're going to bring her on. Her name is Melody Mesmer. She joins us also from Texas, formerly Colorado. We'll get into that. Melody, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I just found out, I was reading your story and I was like, what does 1023 mean? 1023 mean? And I found out it's the radio code for arrive safe. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that you put that into your foundation's name.
Yeah, it has another meaning as well. And that is who our foundation was named after, which is Kristen McLean, and her badge number is 1023.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then there's one more little weird one, which the IRS loved. But when you have to apply for a nonprofit, you have to fill out Form 1023 to apply.
So it's great.
The IRS will get into everything.
Oh, they loved it. They were like, this is awesome.
It truly is covering all the bases. But you know what? When you name foundations, you are taking a piece of either a person, whether it's a tragedy or and carrying on their legacy. So thank you for doing that. Hey, tell everybody that is watching and listening about you, because you've got an amazing background.
Sure, absolutely. So I was born and raised in Colorado, lived there, I'm going to say 51.25 years. And I have been a paramedic firefighter for over 25 years, and I have worked both professionally and have always volunteered in some capacity, and worked everywhere from Eastern Plains, Colorado, farm medicine, to in the city, to up in the mountains and the wildland urban interface type areas, and have just loved that career. And part of my career also has included, for about the past 15 years, I had my medical director ask me to come to work for him at one of our local hospitals there as an educator. And so I have taught and helped maintain EMS and fire certifications for It's been almost 17 years now, I guess, in assist with quality assurance and quality management, and have absolutely loved that job because I've got to stay so deeply integrated in the first response families. And then last year, after some medical setbacks from COVID and my house being at almost 9,000 feet, we needed to make some changes. And we started looking about what we wanted to do and decided it was time for our little adventure, that we'd raised our kids and it was time for our adventure. And we picked up everything and we moved to Texas.
What made you choose Texas?
So Foundation 1023 has always operated in both Colorado and Texas. And that's part of our connective ties with our story. And we're pretty well set in Colorado and have a lot of repetitive things. And we've taken care of people in Texas. And I have a great counselor network down here. But we didn't have a huge physical presence. We weren't doing big fundraisers down here. We weren't doing a ton of outreach and that kind of thing. So when we were looking at moving, this just seemed like the natural choice to go where we were already established with some sort of work base. My husband can work wherever as long as he has access to a computer in an airport. And so that was what we decided to do.
Wow, that is great. And truly, it is a small world, because I'll just say great things happen when people meet up in Texas. Hey, we are talking to Melody Mesmer. She is the founder of Foundation 1023. We got to take our first break. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
2.6.
Move freely, America, without medical restrictions or penalty. Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Move freely, America, with one voice, without fear of retribution, achieving a common goal, medical freedom. We the people make our voices heard by connecting with state legislators and engaging a constitutionally compliant medical bill of rights for all citizens. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice, too. Move Freely America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely America. My voice.
And my voice.
And together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. Movefreelyamerica.org.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are powered by the OBBM Network and our wonderful guest, Melody Mesmer, our new resident of Texas here with Foundation 1023. She came for the food and she stayed.
Yeah, she's not wrong.
It's the barbecue.
So before we left, we were talking about your move here and you, a little bit of your background, your 17 years teaching experience within the fire and EMS field. You know, Colorado is a very, and you said you lived on a place that's 9,000 feet, you know, in the altitude. And you know, that just sparks a question in my head, you know, because they always say that the altitude does have an effect on the human brain, mm-hmm. right? When we look at that. And our conversations just prior, when we were talking about the effects on a lot of our first responders that are in Colorado. Do you think maybe altitude, I mean, I'm just throwing this out there, but you know, you think about it where you guys are so much higher in altitude. Does that have any type of effect on the human mind?
I think that there is potential. And I think one of the reasons we have to look at that, when you look at the big eight of the big eight states of suicide and suicide numbers, they're all in the mountain region. They all come straight down the Rocky Mountains from Montana, Idaho, all the way through the south part of the United States. And so I think that there is potential that altitude could do that. I mean, we know it plays a part in other things, including earlier births, lower birth weight babies, hypoxia overall. We know that there are things that are like that. And so maybe the other thing that those big states have in common is that they're also a lot more rural. And resources may not be as readily available. So that could play a part of that as well.
I was just wondering if anybody ever did a study on that or something within the client. Have they Sam?
Yeah, yes. In fact, if you type it in, I forgot what guests we had on. It goes back a ways, and they were looking into, I think it started with a veteran study, looking into the effects of high altitude, and that somebody in, we'll call it immediate crisis, or having that anxiety kicking off the stress that has a clinical diagnosis of post-traumatic stress, putting them in a high altitude situation was not beneficial at their particular time. And that there is a time where altitude and being outdoors and being in rural, being in nature and being connected,
all comes together.
It is a positive thing. But when you're actively in those first times of crisis, that there definitely was a link. I think it is definitely still being studied, because we're not all the same, right? If you grew up there, you see what I'm saying? If you grew up there, is the effect going to be the same? Because you're used to living at the higher altitudes all the time versus like us, you know, if something happened and we're in Texas and we're like flat, we have hills. We do have mountains out west, I will say. We do have.
Sure.
Most of us live flat. And then if we had, you know, we were exposed to something and then we went to altitude, it may be a problem. So, yeah, Google it. And it's out there. You know, Melody, John, and John, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. You're good.
We were talking about, John was talking about what 1023 the meaning of it. It's very cool that it has three different meanings. However, one of them, why your foundation got started, because it was named for the badge of a friend that you had. Just tell us, was her death like the catalyst in like, hey, this is legacy. We've got to do something.
Well, it certainly was one of the catalysts. In 2015, Colorado and Texas both experienced a very high number of first responder deaths, whether it was from suicide, accident, or illness. And those just kind of seemed to stack up on each other. Our year in 2015 had started like, it was on Valentine's Day, I think. There was a Denver health paramedic that had committed suicide, and she was very much like my equivalent. She was an instructor, we were the same age, ran a lot in the same circles, and she committed suicide. And then Kristen was a flight nurse with Flight for Life Colorado, which is based out of the hospital system that I currently teach for. And her husband had both worked for Flight for Life, and they had moved down to the Austin area because she wanted to go to work for Starflight. So, Starflight's a much more encompassing flight service. We can only do so much at that altitude with smaller helicopters, and we don't have any hoist operations or anything like that. And we just can't do that with our lack of air. and so she wanted to do more. So they had moved down here, and she was working for Starflight, and she experienced a failure during a hoist operation, and she fell during a hoist operation over Barton Springs in Austin and died in that incident. Our flight crews, you know, obviously all came down. We had known Kristen and Winston for years, and one of our pilots, Patrick Mahaney, had given her eulogy, part of her eulogy. 9 weeks later, we had a helicopter crash in Colorado, and Patrick passed away. And he was the pilot, and he passed away. We had a flight nurse, Dave Rupture, who was burned over about 90% of his body and was in the hospital for over a year and survived that event. And then the flight paramedic, Matt, also had some injuries, but actually did pretty good coming out of that crash. And so it was after that crash, then we had several that just really close in succession stacked on top of that. And our communities were just devastated. I had never experienced something like that. And my family now talks about how hollow I had become and how just emotionless and gone and just not present during that time. And I had never experienced that level of grief. And we were sitting, I had actually come down to visit with Winston, Kristen's husband, and we were sitting around having some beverages and talking about how we were going out every day moment's notice as soon as that tone went off, and taking care of total strangers and not taking care of ourselves at all. We weren't addressing our needs at all, but we were taking care of total strangers without even the blink of an eye. And so that was the catalyst for getting our organization started. And we piggybacked. There's an organization down here called the Flatwater Foundation that provides mental health services to families affected by cancer. And Mark Garza, who was the founder of that, gave us like all of his stuff, his bylaws and how he did billing and all of those things, and said, go take this, run with it, make it happen. And so we kind of copied his scope, with the exception of he does a lot of his work through social workers in hospitals when they're getting their initial diagnosis and that kind of thing, where ours are all going to be individual, very private asks for help. But we worked through his stuff, and we filed our paperwork in February of 2016 and saw our first ask and got our first client placed in June of 2016.
Wow. Okay. So that was, I mean, that's pretty fast. So you knew fast. Immediately, and your website is fantastic because, you know, you're filling out a form. It's obviously confidential. Mm-hmm. You and your staff are handling that. Nothing's getting lost in the shuffle. You get the person placed or whatever kind of assistance they're looking for. And boom, you know from the minute that you launch that, okay, now this is real. And I'm just going to, we usually do this at the end, but I'm just going to put it up right now since we're talking about the website. Foundation1023.org is where you can go. If you are in need of services, please go on the website and fill out that form. I know we hear from a lot of first responders, like they're sick and tired of tech. They can't mm-hmm. do it anymore, especially first responders that are veterans that may have suffered TBI. Ask somebody to help you with the form. Believe me, it's worth it because Foundation 1023, they dot the I's, they cross the T's. You will not get lost in the shuffle and you will get what you need. So ask somebody to help with that. Folks, if you are just tuning in, we are talking to Melody Mesmer. She is the founder of Foundation 1023. We got to take another break. We will be right back after these messages.
Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We have our guest, Melody Mesmer with Foundation 1023, learning a little about her move to Texas and what the foundation provides for our first responders who are battling. And, you know, Sam, before we broke, you know, looking at the website is an amazing website. You have so many, so much information on here and easy to navigate through. You have your events page and then Living with Max. Mm-hmm. You mind if we jump into that real quick?
Absolutely. So Max Weekesser was just this charming, charming, sweet paramedic. Young, bright, vibrant, but struggling. Max was gay and had a great support network through that community. He also had a great support network through part of his family. And I think through some of other parts of his family, he really struggled with his identity and with who he was. I had met Max. He actually came through our paramedic school at St. Anthony's Hospital, and just a nice, bright little light and pretty fun. And Max had reached out through our website for assistance and wanted to talk to somebody, and we had him set up for an appointment and he didn't show. And I generally don't know those things. That's between the counselor and the client. The only reason I knew is because one of his friends reached out and said, "Hey, Max left our house today. He was supposed to go to his appointment. We have not heard from him. He's not answering his phone. Can you tell us if he showed up to his appointment?" So I started making some phone calls, and he actually did not call and cancel, and nobody could get a hold of him. They eventually found his car, did a bunch of searching, and sometime that morning, probably shortly after he was supposed to be at his appointment, Max had taken his life. And it was just crushing to our community because he was just such a young, fun life. And Max's grandparents really wanted to do something in his name to keep his name alive and to make sure that someone else didn't go through what he did. So we extended an arm of our foundation to the Living to the Max Foundation, and it's to get that suicide education and messaging out there and maybe keep somebody else from taking their life through knowing that they need or help is available and that it's okay. And we all struggle, and some days really, really suck. And we've made it through every sucky day so far. So to just hold on, and we can do another one, and you're not alone.
You know what really captured me with the pictures of Max on your website is we always turn around and we say everything is hidden by a smile. Our insecurities, mm-hmm. our traumas, our mental health, are all hidden with a smile or I'm okay. You know, and looking at his pictures, these are classic Facebook or social media pictures of him smiling, enjoying life to the max, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of us all live. We live on social media. No one's posting. Well, there are some of those narcissistic people that will post up. For the most part of it, most of us are, sharing the good parts, the smiles, the happy times. No one's really sharing the bad times. And so we think everybody's got the greatest life. We feel like, oh, he's doing great. He was out fishing the other day, you know, but. And we sometimes as providers or advocates or anything else, we fail to turn around and go, maybe he's battling though, you know, mm-hmm. and we look at these wonderful pictures and we're like, oh no, he's okay. And it just caught me, and it brought me onto this, like a social media type of thing going, everything's hidden by a smile, because the kid had a great smile and he was battling and really within himself. And that's just a horrible thing to face each and every day.
Right.
Well, it's also the comparison, you know, we look at that and social media. I mean, say what you will about, there are good parts and there definitely has its drawbacks. And when you're struggling and your brain is all over the place, and what do? You look at anything that will take your mind off what you really need to focus on and get help for. Right. So you scroll through, oh, look at this person. Look at this person. Well, you know, they do the same job I do and they look like they're okay. And so I need to just suck it up and be okay. And then, you know, like with Max, when is enough enough? We have to stop using social media as a comparison. You feel the way you feel. And there is space for that. And there's healing for that. Please do not use social media at all to look at other things that, and to put in your head, like you should be feeling like that because somebody else does the same job as you do. And look, they've got a smile on. It's exactly, right. John, what you said is we are the best at putting this on when inside we are screaming for somebody to just, hey, somebody just ask me how I'm doing so that we can.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely. And you can't pay 2 seconds worth of attention to the keyboard mudslingers because they're hiding behind a screen. They're saying things that they would never say to another human face to face. And they're so hurtful and so bullying. I mean, you know, bullying's been around forever, but it's always happened on a schoolyard playground. But today it happens behind these screens, and it happens adult to adult, teen to teen, child to child.
24/7.
Yeah, 24/7. And it's horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people internalize those things. They're like, oh my gosh, did I do that? Am I bad? What did I say? Oh, should I feel better, not feel better? What should I do? And really what they should do is just turn it off. Yeah. Shut it down. Go read a book. Go swimming. Go ride a horse.
How old was Max? He looks like a young kid.
He seems in early 20s.
He looks like a young kid. And a lot of kids today in that age, they grew up in this last 5 and 10 years, especially with school, this whole big change in, well, they came in with all the social media and a whole bit. And, you know, they don't know how to express themselves besides social media. They don't know really how to express themselves one-on-one because they're always typing. So there's no emotion. They lose that emotion and they lose that compassion and empathy. And everything that you're supposed to have as a human being, they kind of haven't been given that. And it's sad because they don't know how to respond. Friends of his probably didn't know how to ask those questions because they weren't brought up in that part of the generation that has that compassion and empathy and stuff like that. So I hope with all these grassroots organizations such as yourselves, you know, we're able to raise that flag and change that a little bit to our younger veterans, our younger first responders, people just coming up. We got to get the word out.
Absolutely. And teaching them how to cope with anger and sorrow and disappointment. And, you know, that time period of growing up on social media, they were also the generation that grew up the participation trophy generation. They got trophies for everything. So they also never learned loss and disappointment and coping skills for everyday things. I mean, we all lose something every day. You know, we lose the battle at the stoplight. We lose, you know, we didn't get the gas pump, whatever it is. And if you don't learn those coping mechanisms, you're under that huge stress and big endorphin dump, cortisol dump all the time. And your bodies aren't healing from it. Your bodies aren't learning to cope with it. Your brain is stressed. Heart rates are up all the time and people just aren't doing well.
That's huge. That's a huge point. The coping mechanisms, because they don't have any, they don't have any measures to fix themselves because they feel like they're entitled.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about entitlement and coping mechanisms. If you're just tuning into the podcast, we're actually going to go deeper with that when we come back from our next break. We are talking to Melody Mesmer. She is the founder of Foundation 1023. We'll be right back, everybody. Stay tuned.
Hi, welcome to Heroes in Action. I'm Ray Amanat, founder and creator of this training system. I originally made it so that everyone can train for free. We have programs for kids, for women, families, and businesses. I'm an author, speaker, and educator on everything that has to do with violence and bullying prevention education. If you'd like more information about who we are and what our programs are, please go to our website at heroesinaction.us or give me a call if you have any questions at 727-314-2534. We hope to see you here to train.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We got Melody Mesmer with the Foundation 1023. And we're going to, you know, we had a great half of the show. We're going to really start digging deep into the foundation and what Foundation 1023 is all about. Sam?
Yeah. So from the previous break, we were talking about the generation of participation trophies, you know, not being, having that emotional intelligence, if you will, and so what we all know that a brain that has been exposed to trauma, that's constantly exposed to stress, has a hard time, you know, coping, has a hard time grasping onto what do I need to do to feel however they want to feel. Now, I've been told, just type it in Google. Google will tell you the answer. You'll get a whole bunch of different answers, which sometimes are good because it might actually lead you down a path that is good, because ultimately what is this about? We do not want to lose any more of our first responders. We don't want any of them to die by suicide or any other kind of death. We're seeing cancer still go sky high. And, you know, it's all related to stress. I mean, it is. So we've got this education piece that we've got to fill. And with this younger generation coming into whatever first responder service they're looking at, and frankly, it's in any business, right? We've got to look at how do they learn, and how does a first responder brain learn when they're on a 12-hour shift and they're in operating in a, you know, high crime rate city, and they're seeing, you know, 8 calls a night of like bad stuff? How do we put forth the education that they need, so when they see somebody struggling, okay, they ask the question, well, that person's struggling, what do I have to do to not have that happen? Right.
Right.
So I wish we could, like, let's everybody put the brakes on. Let's ask, let's encourage that question. And that's where the education pieces come in from grassroots organizations like Foundation 1023, because your website, you have education on there. You have training tools on there. You have how to de-stress. You've got events going on. If somebody's just like, ugh, I'm at my wit's end, they're foundation1023.org. How would you recommend, where do they go first?
So I always recommend that we at least get their initial ask in first. And on our front page, there's a red request assistance button about a third of the way down. And that takes you to a very simple form that asks for your name. I don't care if it's your real name. That's between you and your counselor. I need to have a phone number that someone will answer, and I have to have an email that somebody will answer. You can go make a brand new fresh one. It doesn't matter to me, because when we get billing back, one of the things that we do for confidentiality is we make sure everybody is immediately assigned an individual identifier, and that is how billing is handled through our system. So the person's real identity and their profession and their needs are between them and their counselor. We're going to get them matched with an appropriate counselor in their area that is culturally competent and ready to handle them. And then we're going to help pay the bills, which is super important. And we're also not going to pay 100% of the bills, because part of the mental wellness component and addressing some of those 8 dimensions of wellness that we all need to have balanced in our life is the financial aspect of it. I always think it's really interesting when I have clients come and say, I just can't afford mental health services, but they have 3 CrossFit gym memberships. Yeah. And I'm like, guys, those CrossFit gym memberships don't happen if your brain isn't right. So we got to get the brain right. So let's drop 1 CrossFit membership. I'm going to get you started. I'm going to help you through the beginning 12 visits. And then I want you to start normalizing this into your budget so that you're taking care of brain and body. And it's one thing.
Yeah, that is really important. You got to have the buy-in to your own mental health journey and getting well. Okay, so you guys help by covering the first 12 visits, and in the midst of all this, you're working out and helping the first responder on how to continue with if appropriate. Again, confidentiality is key. It's always a decision between the first responder and their licensed professional counselor. What is the point where is it always counselors, or is there another way that they can participate?
So it's mostly counselors, and we do some different things. We are also part of our Living to the Max stuff, which we have worked with their family, is our next steps are going to be setting up some retreats. And we hope to be doing that down in this area that we just moved to, so that we can also get people out on the water. There's just such a connection between the brain and the soul and being on water and what it does to calm you. So we want to be setting up some retreats. We also do peer support team training and then just education as well. It's great for us to go out and teach the peer teams and get them up and running and getting that aspect in place. But if people are afraid to use them, they won't. So we also have to do that full body education and be getting out to the broader membership as well.
And part of that education piece, you know, a lot of our first responders, they're married or divorced and they have kids, right? So I found you guys because I was gifted with a book called The Wolf Was Not Sleeping. I'll put it close to the camera. So,
and you got the police edition?
I have the, this is the police edition. I was gifted this book by our friends at the Dallas Police Department when I was down there. Yes, it's the Texas Police Edition. And part of, you know, what we do at A Badge of Honor is we're doing family workshops and talking to kids, particularly young kids. We have a cutoff age of 13 in our workshops because of the nature of the topics that we discuss, and plus their mom and dad are sharing things that it needs to be shared in a way with younger kids differently from how we share sometimes in our workshops. And this, the author, Avril MacDonald, it is incredible. How are you guys connected to this book, and how can first responders that have kiddos, how can they get this book, which helps support your foundation, if I have that correct?
Sure. So Avril MacDonald and a firefighter in New Zealand named Chris Kinnett, they did this project. Chris sought out Avril, and Avril has, I think it's about 10 other kids' books, and they all address some sort of kid-faced issue, whether it's loss or anxiety or whatever it is. And there's some, they're just charming books. I sought her and put together this book because they had experienced some suicides and loss in their New Zealand fire groups. Chris was able to spearhead that and take that out. And they did that whole book process in New Zealand through all of the fire brigades. And then they took it and they just did it in England. And Prince William did a reading of the book in England, and they pushed it out in England. Wow. Texas was the first. They had found me on the internet, and we buddied up. And Texas was the first state, we're the first in the United States to be able to push this program out. So with the assistance from AT&T and Cisco, they backed the production of the books, and we produced 56,000 books to put out in the state of Texas.
Wow. Very nice.
Amazing.
Amazing. On your website, there is a, and I have it muted. But
And we have police, fire.
Go ahead, Melody.
Oh, I was just, sorry, it looked like the internet got just a little unstable for a second, but we have police, fire, and EMS editions of the book. And did your book come with the little flyer, the stress continuum on the inside?
It did. It's right here. This one right here. It says how to use in the
that guy right there. Yeah. So that is a copy, essentially an adaptation of the military stress continuum. And we did that for the kiddos to be able to recognize kiddos that are being stressed. And hopefully maybe slip in some hints to the parents that maybe they're having some stress as well.
Yeah, sometimes parents, hint, hint, 2x4 to the head, same difference hint, on any given day. Okay, so we are talking to Melody Mesmer from, she is the founder of Foundation 1023. Amazing stuff. We got to take our last very quick break and we will be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
To the Health Engineer Show, I'm Kurt Buechler, the health engineer right here on the Health Engineer.
Hi, I'm Larry Corbett.
Hi, this is Doreen Milano. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business, where we will be talking to Terry Arjala.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam and Melody Mesmer of Foundation 23. Before we left, we were talking about this book, the Free Brave Children's Book Initiative, launched back in December of 2022. You guys, now you have it here in Texas. You started it in England. Now it's in Texas. 56,000 books. Was that published or sold?
Those were published. So AT&T and Cisco gave us enough funding to produce 56,000 books to give out. Fantastic. And I have a few left. I think there's a little stock of books still left in the Austin area. And there's maybe a couple boxes in my garage, but not many. And we are looking to do a second round, looking for funding to do a second round of those books. And they're always available for departments to order. They can do one-offs, or if somebody's looking to do a bulk, like they want to put it into Continuum in their like family day at their new, their rookie academies or cadet academies, whatever, if they want to have those, then we can put something together where we can get them books in Continuum.
Well, I will say that the Dallas area has very few left. I think I'm looking at my shelf, less than 10. And I know that the Dallas Police Department was giving them out as well. Folks, it is so important to involve your youngsters in, so they understand that, you know, you having whatever kind of day you're having is not because of them. And they need to understand what goes on up here when we are exposed to the level of trauma that we are. Because sometimes mom and dad are not readily available as we want to be. It's not that we're doing it on purpose. That is for sure. So all throughout the podcast, I've put up Foundation 1023's website. For those of you that are listening, okay, it is foundation1023.org. That's foundation1023.org. You can go on there. Again, if you are in need of assistance, go right to that support tab. Fill out the form, 100% confidentiality. If you want to call yourself John Smith, Jane Doe, whatever, that is totally fine, because you deserve to live a life of peace, to live the best you that's possible, to live life to the max and get the help that you need. And Melody and her amazing staff are giving you that. And all it takes is going to the website. Again, if technology is just something that is driving you nuts right now, get a friend to help you. And we didn't discuss, we haven't discussed how TBI affects using computers and cell phones. Mm-hmm. I was working with a veteran earlier in the week to get him connected with some resources. And he was like, flat out, I cannot get on the internet. It gives me a blistering headache. And I asked, I was like, do you have somebody that can? Because we're all on the internet, right? We all are on social media. So get the help. Hey, this has been amazing. Melody, you know, any last words of advice?
I just want to bring up one thing. I just want to, you know, when we talk about stress, you talk about the water. You do have an upcoming event. Is the Golf Classic passed, or are we doing one in 2024?
There will be one in 2024. I think the date is set. It'll be right on that same Thursday of May. We do have another event coming up in Colorado on August 18th, and it's the end of summer field day, and it's being hosted by the North Glen Moose Lodge, and they're going to have a volleyball tournament, a cornhole tournament, a horseshoe tournament, and a poker tournament. And all of the funds will be coming back to us. It's a great field day. They've done it in the past, and it's just super fun.
That is awesome.
And I'll get that link thrown up onto our website. They were just putting that together for us, so I'll get that thrown up there.
Yeah, so again, visit the foundation website. It's foundation1023.org. And the education pieces that you have on there, the articles are fantastic. You've done a fantastic job. Again, if you're in Colorado and Texas, got you covered, right?
Well, and we'll take care of people anywhere. It just may take me a few days because I don't have a network of culturally competent counselors. I might have to go find somebody. So, and sometimes that takes a few days. But we've taken care of people from about 14 other states as well.
Oh, well, that is absolutely fantastic. Melody, anything you'd like to say to, you know, the first responders that are tuning in and listening?
That we love you, that you're worth it. It will get better. There's going to be sucky days, but it gets better. And don't give up on yourself. You're worth a lot.
Amen to that. Well, Melody, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast tonight. We will be in touch for sure, and we will be pointing folks to your foundation to get that help that they need, and anybody else looking for you know, peer support, that kind of thing as well. It's not just you know, funneled into the mental health, but we can all learn something from Max's story. So visit the website, Melody. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Welcome to Texas.
Yes, thanks. And welcome to Texas.
I hope you bought a cowboy hat, cowboy boots.
And I sold 2 snowblowers, so I'm in good shape.
Oh, there we go. That's the best part. That's the best part.
Your mental health at Whataburger. Got to go to Whataburger.
Yeah, got it.
Not too much, though. No, just kidding. Love you, Whataburger. All right. Take care, Melody.
All right. Thanks.
Wow. Just an incredible wealth of information. And, you know, as we were talking the whole time, I was thinking, from what we do, from what they do, and so many of the organizations that we're partnered with, it's like, it sucks that something's been birthed out of death, for lack of a better word, no matter what kind of death. But you know what? We don't forget those people. We remember them every single time we're doing an event, every single time we put our signature on a piece of paper to expand a program, every single time we read a book because we can relate to what they went through. And that is the driving force behind most of the grassroots organizations. And folks, we don't want to lose anymore. We don't want to lose you. If you are listening and you are struggling, like Melody said, you are absolutely worth it. You are not alone. You have so many people that are in the same place you are in or have gotten themselves help to get out of where you are. Like John always says, there's always one more move. Please don't give up on yourself. Your absence has a huge ripple effect that lasts generations.
Yep.
Okay. It lasts generations. So thank you again for tuning in this week, for everybody that showers us with love and support. We love you right back. You know, if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe. We're across all social media streams. You can find us out there. And all of the first responders, we are praying for you. We love you. Thank you for what you do every single day, for answering those calls to keep us safe right here at home. For all the veterans, thank you for fighting for freedom so John and I can do this show every single week. We thank you so much. For our active duty personnel, thank you for keeping our shores safe across the globe. And John, you know, we have got an amazing fall coming up. Visit abadgeofhonor.com. If you are in an hour's drive of the greater DFW area, it's not up on the website, but Friday, August 25th, we are at the Garland Police Department, our 8-hour TCOL certified workshop. If you're a first responder, we want your butts in those seats. We are going to have a jam-packed, fun, and educational 8 hours. We feed you all day, take care of everything you need. But most of all, you're going to learn the touch points of when this thing starts screaming, what you can do to take a step back, to stop, slow it down. And we have the resources available as well. So, excuse me. So check out abadgeofhonor.com for everything that you need. John, take us home.
Well, you sparked a great memory. There's always one more move, man. Remember, it's never checkmate. You never have to check out. And there's always one more move. So until next week, it's John and Sam with a Badge of Honor, and you stay safe. Peace.
Take care, everybody.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBM Network podcast and protected under copyright law. For content permissions, please submit your request to abadgeofhonor.com on the content page. For OBBM Network programming information, please call 214-714-0495 today.